Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, please take your seats. Hallelujah. You know, at the most recent half night, my husband was talking about 2020. And he started to talk about the fact that we need the faith for favor. And as he started to minister in the prayer meeting, and everyone is engaged with God, and he led people into prayer and into pushing in for everything that God had, I'm literally standing there having an encounter. And I was actually trying to look like I was praying so that I didn't put anyone else off, but I was having an encounter. Because as he was speaking about favor, I want to stop for a moment and ask you a question. How many of you really need something from God in this season? You need something specific. Put up your hand. How many of you know that there's the hard way and the easy way to get things? And one of the easiest ways to get anything from God is favor. So how many of you here, you need favor? You really need more favor. So I just want you to stop and think for a moment. If you know you need more favor, what do you have to do to get more favor? What do you have to do to get it? I just want that to settle a minute. I'm not going to ask anyone to shout out your answer. But I want you to stop and think right now. Like, if favor could open the door to the promotion that I need, if favor could transform my relationship with that family member, which it can, if favor can unlock abundant blessings, if favor can change my life in a moment, how many of you believe that favor can do that? So, what are you going to do to get more favor? And I want you to stop and think right now, what could you possibly do to get more favor? You see, when my husband started to talk about favor, I suddenly realized something. You know, one of the Holy Spirit's name is the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth and I have quite a good relationship. It's good to develop a relationship with the Spirit of Truth. And he and I have quite a good relationship. And the moment my husband said the word favor, I suddenly was confronted with one truth, and it was this. I suddenly thought, wow, deep down on the inside, I believe that my best friend and my husband both have more favor with God than I do. And I thought, whoa. You know, because that's like quite a startling realization that that's what I felt in that moment. And I want you to ask yourself that question right now. Is there anyone that you think has more favor with God than you? You know, very often you can answer your own question by asking yourself, who do I often ask to pray for me? Whose prayers would I covet the most? And so, is there anyone you think has more favor with God than you do? Now, if there is someone you think has more favor with God than you do, don't say a name, but just put up your hand. If there's someone you can think of that you think might have more favor with God than you do, put up your hands. Put up your hands across this place if you believe there are certain people. Yeah? The rest of you, the hands down, you believe you've got more favor with God than, or as much. Okay. And so, I started to ask God, well, why do I believe that Larissa in Uganda and my husband have more favor with God? And that was when my encounter began. Now, we're going to go on a little journey together. Because the message I am sharing with you today has literally transformed my prayer life. And my prayer is that this will transform your prayer life as well. How many of you want that? You want more favor? Hallelujah. You know, one of the issues with favor is that many of us end up believing that when we're going through storms, we often feel, oh my goodness, you know, where's God in all this? Like, where are you, Lord? How many of you remember the story where those 12 people that were Jesus' disciples, and he chose them, he picked them. You know, he chose us all, but he really chose them. Are you getting that? And one day, they are in a boat with Jesus. And a storm came, and it was a bad storm. And in Mark 4, verses 37 to 38, I'm just going to read a few phrases from those two verses, because it says a great storm arose, and the waves beat into that boat. How many of you have had some beatings in life recently? Right? Anyone had some beatings? Right. And the disciples, the sea is filling the boat, and they go, oh! And what comes out of their mouths? The first thing is they wake Jesus up, because he's fast asleep, and they think, how dare you? How dare God rest, eh? Hashtag catch that. That was for Carol Briggs. I think you might be listening. And it says, they woke him and said, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, so many times when storms come and go out of our lives, in the midst of it, we can suddenly think, oh my goodness, you know, where's God in all of this? And how many of you honestly, in the midst of the storm, feel favored? No. You know, the storm is telling us a story. It's narrating a certain perspective on God to us. And so the storm comes. But I want to tell you two things about favor. And then I'm going to come back to this issue of trials and storms and difficulties, because it's going to help us unpackage something. So stay with me. But the first thing about favor is Psalm 5, verse 12 says that he surrounds the righteous with favor as like a shield, right? I love the way it puts it in the Passion Translation. It says that he wraps us up in favor. And that is the entitlement of every believer. Because our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? You know, I have no righteousness that is good enough other than the righteousness that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So first of all, we know that every single one of us is entitled to favor. There is a base level of favor that we all are entitled to. But how do we get the promises of the God? How do we get them? Someone speak to me. How do we get the promises of God? How do we appropriate them? How do we make them our own? By faith. Yeah? By faith. So we all are entitled to favor. Say, favor is my entitlement. So right now, you have access to favor just because you're a believer. Okay? It's your entitlement. But you have to get it by faith. Now, the second thing I want to say about favor is your favor can increase. Because Jesus himself, it says in Luke chapter 2, I believe it's the last verse, it says that Jesus grew in stature, but it says he grew in favor. And you see, if God did it for Jesus, who was fully man while he was here on the earth, then God will do it for me. Because everything I get is because I'm in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? So we have, number one, an entitlement to a base level of favor. Say, I'm entitled to favor. But you can also grow in favor. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story before I get into something else. So, how old's Benji now? He's 18. So about like 14 years ago, I had a tooth removed. I had a tooth extraction. And I have no fillings, but I have one gap. And it was after that tooth extraction that I changed dentists. Because let me tell you what happened. I went to the dentist. I went to a dentist in St. Albans. And this dentist came at me. I mean, it wasn't a hammer, but it was something very similar. And literally, this dentist just like bashed me up. I mean, bang, bang, bang. And then the tooth, so the way you get a tooth out, apparently, is you push it in. I can't see Bim here right now, but she's my new dentist. And she's never hurt me. If you need a dentist, then Bim's the person, right? Bim's your man. So, whatever, it's a phrase. Like, come on. I don't have to adapt my idioms here in the UK, okay? I know I have to, like, work out everything I'm saying there, but I'm there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. So Bim's your man, okay? So anyway, this dentist has literally, like, bang, bang, bang. I came out of that place missing a tooth, which apparently was necessary, so the dentist said, but literally in agony. I mean, my entire head was banging. I could barely just walk straight. I was in a terrible state. Now, the problem with that was that exact weekend, my husband was away and I was home alone with my 2.5-year-old and my 4-year-old at the time. And my 2.5-year-old had a whole heap of medical issues at the time. And I remember getting back from the dentist, my husband walking out the door, I walked in the door, and me going, oh my goodness, how am I going to cope? Because I could barely move my head. So I thought, you know, like, what are they saying, Ghostbusters? Who are you going to call? So who did I call? Larissa. Larissa, the woman with much favor. But anyway, I didn't know why I was calling her. I just texted her in Uganda, and I said, you need to pray right now, because I can't cope this weekend on my own with these children. I'm in agony. My head's banging. My face is banging. Everything was just in agony. So I texted her. 5 minutes later. I mean, I went from utter agony to total normality. And I went, whoa. I'm like, whoa. You know, I mean, I've had many miracles, but that one was like so extreme. Because I was in agony, my face, I mean, everything. I could barely see straight. And suddenly, all gone. And I'm like, my goodness. So anyway, I texted her back, said, oh my goodness. And then after that, I kept saying, you need to tell me how you prayed. You need to tell me how you prayed. I need to hear. And she didn't want to tell me. Like, she's got some secret prayer weapon that she's not telling me about. And I kept saying, you got to tell, like, how did you pray? Did you get the text? And immediately go into the loudest, raging warfare known to man. What did you do? Did you bind the demon of this? Or did you, you know, what did you call on the angels? You know, what did you do? She got so fed up of me asking, she eventually told me. And at the time, I remember just going, well, that's just weird. But let me tell you what she prayed. One sentence. Listen, it's not that she doesn't love me, but one sentence. She said, Lord, she said, Father, as a favor to me, will you just heal my friend right now? Now, I want you to hear how she prayed. Me, the pastor, minister. She didn't say, Father, as a favor to me, will you heal your daughter? As a favor to me, will you heal Joe? She said, Lord, as a favor to me, will you heal my friend? Now, we're going to go somewhere, so I want you to stay with me. Storms. Seriously try and tell you and I lies. The disciples, do you not care? Did Jesus care? I want to look at Joseph. Because you see, Joseph is such an interesting man. Because he went to hell and back. How many of you agree with me? Now, I want to look first. You imagine this man has just been beaten up by his brothers. He's been stripped. He has been betrayed. He's been sold. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like, being sold, being treated like a lump of meat. He's just been sold into slavery. And then Genesis 39, verse 1, it says, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. So Potiphar sees Joseph like a piece of meat. And then I want us to look at verse 4. It says, Joseph found favor in his sight. Who's his? Potiphar's, the man who bought him like a piece of meat. And so what does favor do? So Potiphar made him overseer of his whole house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. How on earth? You see, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't get anything we definitely don't get anything from God as a result of self-pity. Self-pity opens no doors. Turn to your neighbor and say, self-pity won't get you there. Feeling sorry for yourself won't get you there. The book I'm writing at the moment is called My Pretend Friend. Self-pity makes you believe they're the only one that understands you really. Your pretend friend. It was not self-pity that was motivating Joseph. That was not in his heart, because self-pity will open no doors for you. But something in Joseph, in the midst of being treated like a slave, still, he had faith for favor. How? Then it got even worse. Because after that, Joseph was falsely accused of rape. You imagine the injustice he must have felt. You imagine how angry he might have felt. You imagine, you know, on the inside, what that man must have gone through. And he's now thrown into prison. And we have this very pretty picture of prison because we've listened to the musical. How many of you have heard you've watched the musical? Joseph. Yeah, I won't try and sing, actually. Sorry. Stop. Self-control, girl. But the Bible says, I think it's Psalm 105, it tells us that Joseph's ankles were literally in iron fetters and they got bruised. He's in pain. How many times when you're in pain and agony do you think, wow, the favor of God's all around me? And yet, Genesis 39, I'm going to start at verse 20 and just read some of the phrases through to 22. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him favor. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And so suddenly his storm became a little more pleasant. He will have been given privileges as a result of his favor. Every time God gives you favor, privileges will follow you. Every time God gives you more favor, more people are going to just want to help you. I love one of the, there's a verse in that basically something like, you know, when you got favor, even your enemies become your friends. In other words, even people who hated you once are suddenly opening doors for you. You know, they're kind of tumbling over themselves trying to help. How many of you would like that? Right. And so here is Joseph. Among enemies, in a strange nation, he's a foreigner. But suddenly, he plugs into favor once more. And so he gets favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Suddenly he's now in charge. You know, he could do what he wanted, go where he wanted. So from one moment where his feet, his ankles are bound in iron fetters, no more. He's enjoying life inside now because of favor. Everything that we get from God, our faith has to be engaged. You've got to remember why. Because faith is believing that God is good. And not just that, faith is believing that God is good to you. Because it says, you know, that it's believing that he's a rewarder. And only good people reward. But of course, fear is when we believe the devil's threats. Faith is when we believe God's promises. Fear is when we believe the devil's threats. So, what is it about Joseph? And this is what God revealed to me as I'm standing at the front of this prayer meeting. You see, what do we know about Joseph? That boy was lavishly loved by his daddy. You know, the word for father in the Hebrew, the root word, you know, Abba, Ab. And at the root of that word, Ab, it means architect. It means frame. And the way God uses fathers, his plan for earthly fathers, is that they would imprint in our heart what God's like. That deep down on the inside, we'd understand the nature of our heavenly Father because we have in front of us this picture of what fathering really is. You see, Joseph had this earthly father who loved him so lavishly. And Joseph grew up knowing, do you know what? I mean, he will have gone through tests and trials before he was 17, because everyone does, don't they? He will have gone through tough times. He will have gone through good times. He will have gone through all sorts of times. But he always knew, my daddy really, really loves me. And so you see, although Joseph was a slave, he still knew that he was a son. Although Joseph was a prisoner, he still knew, you know what? You may have me held captive. You may think I'm a prisoner, but I still know I'm a prince. Are you getting this? You see, when you go into captivity knowing you're a son, then even though they may call you a slave, you still know the privileges that you are entitled to. And when you go into these sorts of circumstances and situations, you still know, wow, my daddy God still loves me. Because you see, he loves me lavishly. He loves me unconditionally. So he's still for me. We're going somewhere. You see, this is the key to favor. Favor is all about relationship. Let me explain. How many of you, you know, if you wanted, let's do something a little close to home. You know, if you wanted to meet up with my husband, how many of you, if you wanted to meet my husband and it was really important, you'd first contact Godfrey. How many of you think you'd try Godfrey first? Some would, yeah. Put your hands up if you would think, let me try that, or, you know. How many of you would say, okay, well, I'm gonna call him. I'm going to call him. I need to get some time, so I'm going to pick up the phone and call. Right. Some of you might say, well, I'm going to text. Yeah, right? What do you think my son would do if he wanted time with his dad? He'd just walk in. You know, how many of you here are children of God? And yet we try and email him to make an appointment. I would like to make a statement. You see, I want you to now think back to what you said you thought you would need to do to get more favor. You know, when my daughter wants something from me, I actually love it when she wants something from me because I just know what she's going to do. I've got this 1.5 size sofa thing. Do you know a 1.5 size? They're like cuddle sofas because 2 can fit in, but you have to be real close up. And that's my prayer seat. I have this lovely little place where I pray and it's where I write books and all that stuff. And so, you know, if she wants something from me, I'll be sitting in there and she'll just come in. She doesn't care what I'm doing. She doesn't go, oh my goodness, you know, is mummy a bit busy right now? No, she just walks straight and she sits beside me. And she gets a bit closer and she'll put her head on my, and mummy, how's your day? How are you doing, mummy? You know, and she'll ask me, she'll talk to me, she'll spend some time with me, she'll put her head on my shoulder, you know, and then she'll go, mummy, and here it comes. Listen to this. When a servant needs more favor, he works harder. When a son needs more favor, he draws closer. How many times have we thought, if I pray harder? You know, honestly, the key to favor is relationship. You see, you remember when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus. And Lazarus is stone cold dead. He's been out for 4 days. And then Jesus speaks. And he says, Father, I thank you that you hear me. This is before the miracle. Father, I thank you that you hear me. And then he's praying out loud. You know, sometimes we have to do things in front of others so that they can learn. Isn't that right? How many times when you've got children, you do something, you do it the right way in front of them so that they can learn and copy us. And so Jesus is saying, Father, I thank you that you hear me. And then he thinks, oh, whoops, this is going down on paper for all eternity, so I better clarify. And he says, Lord, you always hear me. But I'm saying this out loud right now so that they will believe who are listening to what I'm saying. In other words, every time Jesus opened his mouth, it would never cross his mind that God wouldn't be listening. Because he knew I'm his son. This is my daddy. Why wouldn't my daddy be listening? You know, some of you, you didn't have fathers who ever listened to a word you said. You had fathers who were distracted. You had fathers who were absent. You had fathers who really didn't care about you. You had fathers who didn't even know you. And you see, the problem is what we so often do is we think God is like our earthly fathers. Day 4 in my book, 30-Day Detox for Your Soul, is all about that principle. That we really do believe that God is like our earthly father until God heals our hearts of all the wounds of how we were treated by our earthly fathers. And then we get a revelation of who he really is as our perfect, good, wonderful, heavenly father. But Jesus knew my dad's always going to hear me. Because he knew, I've got favor with my daddy. You know, as I stood there at the front of church and I realized, oh my goodness, I think these two people have more favor. And you see, with me, it was a shattering of wrong thinking that God had to do. And in that moment, I'm weeping and everyone else is waging war. I mean, I don't know if anyone else in the room noticed. So I'm standing there like, you know, with these tears just trickling down my cheeks. As God started to speak to me about how to have faith for favor. Because you need faith for favor. Some of you right now, do you know what? The starting point for you is you need more healing in your heart. Because if your view of God is that he might like someone else better than you. If your view of God is that, you know what, I'm constantly disappointing him and letting him down and he doesn't actually like me that much, you need healing. Are you hearing me? If you think God's angry with you, you need healing. But you see, sometimes we can have reached a place like me where my heart was healed, but I still had an old mindset linked back to how my heart used to be. And I remember just standing there and just starting to weep. Because I thought, my goodness, what on earth possessed me to believe, to have more faith? Listen to this. I had more faith in my friend's favor with my father than in my favor with my father. How is God? Whoa, I'm sorry. And in that moment, God started to shatter all this wrong believing. And I suddenly realized, oh my goodness, I have so much favor with God. I mean, I've got all the favor I need with God. But before, I didn't have it because we don't get anything except by faith. So I had no faith really in my favor with God to the extent that I would be constantly declaring. You see, I make regular and daily declarations over my life. And if you don't, please do. Declare the word over your life. The word works. And what you say, you know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But also what we say can change our hearts. It can influence what we believe. And so, you know, I have regularly confessed, Father, thank you that your favor surrounds me as with a shield. But I was needing to confess it because I didn't know it to be quite as true as it really is. Now, listen, let me say one thing about favor. You see, my daughter can come in and snuggle up to me and put her head on my shoulder and say, Mummy, I haven't passed my driving test, but will you give me the car keys? What am I going to say? She can come in and say, Mummy, prove that you love to me. Prove to me that you love me by going to the shops right now and getting me 6 bars of vegan chocolate, 3 punnets of strawberries, and I'm going to go, not really. You understand? Because, like, favor isn't a way of somehow... Favor isn't manipulative. Favor isn't about getting God to do things to prove that he loves you. In fact, favor is almost gross if people do that. You know, sometimes people try and attain favor just to somehow bring validation. Especially people who feel very rejected. They're gonna try and get favor. You know, please favor me, because I need to feel that favor. No, that's not favor. That says I need healing. Are you hearing the difference? Favor is when out of all righteousness, but because we know we have a very special place in the heart of God, we use our relationship to access the goodness of God and the blessings of God that we know are aligned with his goodwill and purpose. Are you following this? This is really important. I keep using someone as an example at the moment. I've done it 3 times in the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to do it again because, you see, I'm going to tell you something I did. I suddenly got this revelation, you know, about favor. And also, God had started to show me in relation to Healed for Life that this new season was all about depth, not breadth. And I suddenly started to see each human being that was coming to each Healed for Life. We've done something like, I think we've done 37 Healed for Life so far. And each one is bringing such transformation. And so suddenly God was changing my thinking from, like, God, because I know God's called us to bring this to the world. And yet sometimes the process of getting to the world feels a little arduous and long. And so suddenly I realized, oh my goodness, this is about each individual. And I remember someone once saying to me, emailing the office and saying, you have no idea the impact that this ministry is having. because this man said, it's not just my life that got transformed. It's the ripples that my life has impacted. And he said, it just keeps going out and out and out. It's my community. It's the people I reach. It's the people I influence. And then when I'm now a better husband, a kinder human being, this was someone who'd been in ministry for 20 years, a better minister, you think of the impact. And so suddenly I'm realizing on my flight to Florida, 10 days ago, I'm going, oh my goodness, this is about each one. And suddenly I no longer needed, you know, all that pressure that I was feeling, you know, because we signed contracts and all the rest. And suddenly I'm going, God, this is your ministry. This is your contract. Oh, it's all you. And so I suddenly started to thank God for each one. And at that time, we had 52 people booked. You know, and I'm always thinking, Lord, if there was 500, it's 500 lives. If it was 5,000, it's 5,000 lives. But suddenly I'm going, Jesus trained 12. And Jesus left 99 for one. And I'm going, wow. And I'm just thanking God over each one of these. And then, all nothing. I just sat there and I was praying and worshiping. And then suddenly out of my heart, I heard these words come. And I said, Father, as a favor to me, my first time praying that prayer, I said, will you give us 64 people at this Healed Five? And there was a reason why I said 64. I said 64, and I just left it. But I knew we'd have 64. Guess how many we had? 64. Even Friday morning, because in America we do it Friday, Saturday. And even Friday morning, I'm doing Facebook Live. A woman was listening, tuning into Facebook Live. She heard my voice and suddenly went, oh my goodness, I need to be at that conference. She literally got into her car in Miami, which is something like a 4-hour drive to Bradenton, to the retreat center. She apparently flew, which I'm not saying that God makes cars fly because, you know, the speed limit is a good thing. But she literally flew. There was a young man that had no plan of being there, and he suddenly came at the last minute. And he'd been 2 weeks in a supernatural ministry school in the Central Florida area. And he said in that one day at Healed for Life, he got more out of that than in 2 weeks in this ministry school. What's my point? You see, I said, Father, as a favor to me. But it was aligned with his heart, his desires. It was aligned with love for other people. But you see, God is saying to you today, if you only knew how much favor you already have with me. But it doesn't stop there. He's saying, just come into my presence. Just draw nearer. Draw closer. You know, I want you to stop and think right now about all the things that you really need from God. And we need to wage war. We need to deal with the enemy. We need to, you know, it's not always God that we need to answer. You know, it's not always God. Like Daniel, what was the first thing that the angel Michael said when he reached Daniel? He said, oh, Daniel, you're so greatly beloved. That's made me weep. I don't know how many times reading the book of Daniel. And I think this angel comes and says, you are so, so dearly loved by God. So maybe something in Daniel's heart believed that the delay meant that God wasn't listening. And the first thing that warrior angel who's there to do war, not to just deliver message. In fact, it was Gabriel who came. Someone can look it up and check. But the angel got to him, and the first thing he said is, you are so well loved. Oh, my goodness. If you only knew the weight that you have in heaven. And he said, but there was a demonic opposition, and I needed Michael to come fight for me so that I could reach you with this message. But God wants you to know that delay isn't because you don't have favor with him. He wants you to know that if you'll just change your tactics, you know, really, really, if you still have any daddy issues, any parent issues, you need your heart to be healed. You really do. You know, if you still doubt God as your daddy, that is a foundational issue from which virtually everything else comes. But if you know all that already, and God's healed your heart, you know what? It's time for the old mindset to just shatter off you. I want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I just want to ask you to shut your eyes in the presence of God. You know, favor is like someone holding the door open for you. Just holding it open. And Jesus said, I am the door. He's the very door that is being held open. Right now, with your eyes shut, how many of you, as I've been ministering, you realized that you've had more of a servant mentality in the area of favor and receiving from God? If that's you, just lift up your hands right now. You realize that you've had somewhat of a servant mentality in your relationship with God. Just lift up your hands right now. Father, I pray right now that, Lord, every servant mentality would just shatter in the lives of your sons and daughters. Because the Lord says, my child, to obtain more favor, you just need to draw closer. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Let all that human effort in relation to favor just fall away right now. And right across this place with our hands raised, I want just to lead us in prayer. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I am your child. That I have access to everything that is yours, because you are mine and I am yours. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I can have full faith for favor with you, because I am your child. Just while your eyes are still shut, if you're here today and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you once made him Lord, but you know in your heart that you have backslidden, you've fallen away. God is knocking at the door of your heart. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who opens up the door of their heart, I will come in. Right now, if you're saying, I need to give my life to Jesus, I want to invite him into my heart, or maybe you've done it before and you've backslidden and you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, just lift up your hand right now. Thank you. Let me just lead you in prayer. Thank you. Let's just all pray together. Just lift those hands high. There's quite a few of you. Thank you, Jesus. And just say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. I open my heart to you today. I ask you to forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. And I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you, Lord, that I am now a child of God. Thank you, Lord, that I am yours and you are mine. I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord?